Good morning. No one is allowed to sit today because we are few. I look straight to your face. Take a seat. I would like together to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means of financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Today, as you understood, we'll speak about money. This is a subject which is very much ignored in the churches, but is not ignored in the Bible. You know that Paul is one of the New Testament teachers who spoke a lot about money and who left for us a very strong teaching what should be our attitude towards money. In the Old Testament, David and Solomon left a very good teaching about money, and that's why we should not ignore this subject. At the first appearance, this subject seems to us very worldly, but we live in this world which is money-oriented, money-moved. So now we have Olympic Games, but believe me that if would not be money involved there, we'll not have anything. We'll not have Olympic Games, we'll not have any festivals, and because money, it's an engine for the modern world. That's why as a church we have to learn what God tells us about money. And the first thing that we know about money is that money are coming from God. We cannot have negative attitude toward money because money are coming from God. And the scripture tells us that when God gives to any man in our congregation, for example, wealth and possession, and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift from God. And Solomon also said that the priority in our life should be the wisdom, but the wisdom has in the right hand the long life, but in her left hand is the money, well, the riches and honor. So once we understand that the money are coming from God, it's nothing wrong with the money, but anyway, the money are still remain a danger, and it's not the money itself, but the attitude toward the money. And the scriptures, for example, Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, prove that because the one who loves money never has money enough. And you know that whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. And also Proverbs says that the money or the riches are so uncertain. If you wear yourself out to get rich, have the wisdom to show restraint. Why? Because cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off of the sky like an eagle. And the passage which we read this morning also proves that those people who want to get rich, they fall into temptation. It's actually a trap of different harmful desires, because love of money, not money, love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people in our churches, eager for money, they have wandered from the faith. And that's why Paul told to Timothy, flee from all this. Flee from this desire to get rich. And you know that our television, the Christian channels, they are full with this subject. And you know why. And you know that the gospel of prosperity didn't start a few years ago. It's a world false doctrine. And that doctrine started in Ephesus. And Paul, when he went from Ephesus, he left Timothy to to stop those false doctrines. And that was the false doctrines in the church of Ephesus. And if you look to 1 Timothy, verse 5 of chapter 6, you see that Paul called them that they are robbing the truth because they think or they teach that godliness is a means to financial gain. And look what he said in verse 6. He said, yes, godliness with contentment is a great gain. And if you study the scripture in Greek, you will see that gain, the both in both verses 5 and 6, it's one word. It's one word, financial gain. So what they were teaching and what Paul said looks very similar, but it's totally different. They were teaching, be a good Christian, show godliness, and God definitely will bless you and you'll be rich. Paul said, yes, godliness, if you are content with the current situation, if you are pleased and content with what you have now, that will result into gain. So from the first glance, these two teachings, they just seem to us very, very similar, but they are totally opposite, because the first teaching, the false teaching, was that the gain was emphasized. In the second teaching, the godliness is emphasized. And even though it's very easy to teach something which seems that it's from the Bible but is not, Paul made clear that yes, the godliness is a great gain only if you are content with the current situation. When I studied the first Timothy, I was stunned to see that here in chapter 6, it's a foundation of the teaching about money. And you'll understand why is that. And look to the verse 17 and 18 and let's put that foundation about the money, because that will change our life. And the first question is, who gives wealth? And verse 17 is very clear that God gives us everything. So this will change our perspective toward money, because you know, if God gives everything and God gives us according to Matthew 25, He's giving us His wealth or riches or possession to use for His glory, we are remaining in the role of administrators and not owners. And here is the totally different perspective. If you are viewing everything that you have as a owner, that you possess, that means that you have to keep it, you have to work hard to enlarge them, and that adds a lot of pressure on your life. But if you view everything that you got or you have as God's possession, and you view yourself only as an administrator of what you received, it's totally a different role, different position. And nowadays, you'll find many, many people who are living under a lot of pressure. And why is that? Only because they have a different understanding on this question. Even though you are receiving the paid check, or if you are receiving the money through your boss, or you are receiving the money from somebody, it's very... we are tempted to believe that He is the one who is giving us the money. But Bible makes clear that we are just stewards, we are ministers, we are administrators of God's wealth, and that put us totally in a different situation, a different position. How much God is giving to us? The scripture says richly, in abundance. He wants to give us a lot. And He's giving us only for two reasons. And look, which are those two reasons? First, for our enjoyment. Oh, that sounds so unspiritual. You will never dare to teach this in the form of Soviet Union. Because if you ask a pastor, a minister there, why do you need the money? Will be good if your church will have more money, or you will have more money, and he will say, yes, I will build orphanages, I will do that, but somewhere in his mind, he will say, hey, I will maybe change my house to, I will go in my in a vacation, which I have dreamed long enough, and I didn't have a chance. I would like to change my car, which is old. So God knows our hearts. And that's why he says, first, I'm giving you for your enjoyment. Enjoy. But there is a second reason to share with others. There is a second reason when you are enjoying what God is giving to you, don't forget that there are a lot of people around you who need you. There are a lot of ministries. Right now we can see that we desperately need to spread as much as possible the gospel, not only in our country. And we know that people desperately need Bibles. They need our support. So God is giving us for two reasons. Enjoy, but also think about others who are living around you. If God gives us riches, if God is not giving us thousands, but not even millions, He wants to give us billions, why? Why the Christians are not millionaires? Why they are not so rich? Why we don't have so many rich people in our congregation? Why the Christians are not richer than this world? And the second question, why God is giving me to give to my neighbor? Why He is not giving directly to him? And of course we know that the answer is that sometimes even Christians are taking an improper attitude towards money. And that's why many people don't receive much from God because of the wrong attitude toward money. Sometimes God is giving the wealth for us to enjoy, but we are using God's gift to pierce ourselves with grief. And you see this. So now let's list all the wrong attitudes towards money. And verse 6 and 8, so we are spending time only in one chapter and we are focusing on everything that this chapter says about money. So we are not touching other teachings from the Bible about money. These two verses says that the godliness with contentment is great gain. And also, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. So the first wrong attitude towards money is that the people are not content with their current possession or situation. One time, I was thinking why one of the members of our church, a very active minister, he was living in poverty for a long time. He has a large family, but seems to us, the whole church, that he wasn't blessed with money. And every time at the church we were helping him, I'm not making now a new doctrine, but I'm just giving an example. And you know what I discovered? When we brought some stuff from Germany to help him, he just took it. He said, okay. He forgot even to say thank you. And I discovered that that person, he wasn't grateful and happy with everything that God was giving to him. And be sure that if you are not content with everything that you possess now, you will not be content with everything that God will give you tomorrow. If today will happen that you lose everything, you lose everything that you have, what will be your attitude or reaction? Think about if in 2 days you receive everything that you lost. You'll just receive everything in a miraculous way. You'll receive that. What will be your reaction? That should be our reaction every day when we understand that everything that we are getting daily, we are getting only because of God's love, and we are not worthy to have anything, but God is still blessing us. That's the first improper attitude towards money if you are not content. The second is shown in verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation. This desire to get rich, this desire which many times becomes a priority of our lives, this desire changes us. Because instead of seeking God, we will start to seek new ways to get richer. And, you know, I found in America more ungrateful people than we had in our country. And I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about immigrants who moved here. And when I was visiting them, they were telling how hard is their life. And they said, hey, go back to your country, and you'll feel better there. You have here 3 carts, you didn't have anything there, and you are complaining now. Think about the people who remain in that country, and they are criticizing the system, the government. But if you are not happy here, go back. Go back and you know that God will make you happy there. So here are 2 more wrong attitudes. First, when you seek riches or wealth instead of seeking God, and also when you are comparing yourself with the richer. So they are not comparing anymore with those who remain in that country. They are comparing themselves to those who moved like 20 years ago to America, those success businessmen were those Americans who lived here all their life. The next wrong attitude is the love of money. You know that the first commandment is to love God. And here we are changing the subject of our worship, the object of our love. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, they just wander it from the faith and pierce themselves with many gifts. The fifth wrong attitude is that you start to trust more in your possession than in God. And I discovered that in my heart. 5 years ago, I had a very successful established business in my country. Not only in my country, in two countries. And I was full-time involved in preaching the gospel. And I thought that, oh, I'm doing God's will. I'm full-time involved in ministry. Here I have the business. I don't need to worry about anything. And I was planning how I will involve my kids and they have the inheritance for all their life. But somewhere there, God found a danger. Even though I was full-time involved in ministry, maybe God, who always tested the heart, he saw that I started to have trust in my possession. In one night, everything changed. Everything changed in one night. And here is a big danger, and God will not allow you to stay in that danger when you are starting to put your trust more in your possession than in God. And the sixth, the last wrong attitude in this chapter, when you are forgetting about those who are in need. You are forgetting because you are too focused. You are too focused on your needs, on the needs of your family. And the need of spreading the gospel is not touching anymore you. The need of that billions of people never heard about Jesus Christ is not touching you. The needs that the church needs to spread the gospel even in this community, that's not touching you. And that's the last wrong attitude in this chapter. But look that our convictions always change our behavior. Never inner conviction remains without results. The convictions in you will change your behavior even here in the church. And that's why we can see that the wrong attitude leads to the results. Somebody said, if you have constant conflicts in the church, just check the cash flow. Because many conflicts are tied to the money. And what Paul said, that the wrong attitude leads towards controversies, quarrels, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction, and corrupts our minds. And I put everything in a list. Controversies, quarrels, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction, corrupt mind. And there are two more results that you lead yourself into a trap. You fall into temptation in many foolish and harmful desires which ruins your family, ruins and leads to destruction your family and yourself. Now we understand that it's really a big danger, and the danger comes from your attitude. nothing to do with the possession. It's with the attitude. And you'll find even poor people who have even worse attitude as rich people. You know what the poor people want? They want money. And you know what the rich people want? Some more, but it's not some more which we had yesterday at the camp. It's really some more. The tenth result of the wrong attitude is that you are piercing yourself with grief. And here is a paradox. God is giving you wealth to enjoy, and you are turning this into a grief, which is the opposite. And God doesn't want you to live a life in grief. So what God is going to do, if He is blessing you with everything, but you are piercing yourself with grief, it's the same as you purchase a computer for your son, and you are giving to him some enjoy. And in 2 months, you look at your son, and you see that red face, that red eyes, and he doesn't have any time to communicate with his parents because he's very, very occupied with his computer, and he's totally stuck in that computer and looking at that display, and you cannot have any more that kind of relationship which you had before. And you say, son, I purchased this for you to enjoy. And look at you. You are piercing yourself with grief. So we don't have that kind of communication and the relationship which we used to have before. And you say, son, let's reestablish our communication. And you'll take the computer and blam, and you'll destroy it. That's what God is doing sometimes with us. He's blessing us, but when we are taking the wrong attitude and we are forgetting about Him, and when your attitude toward God is different from your relation which you had, used to have when you were poor, God would like to even to restrain or to take away the reasons why you change your relationship, your attitude towards Him. That's why here is the secret God is giving us to enjoy, but we can use God's gift to pierce ourselves with grief. And I put everything as the evidence in a chart. Again, who gives? How much and for what reason? God is giving everything. Everything that you possess now belongs to Him. Just remember Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. To God belongs the heaven and highest of heaven, from one side, and the another side, the earth and everything in it. So everything that is on this earth belongs to God. Your house, your car, everything that you have belongs to God, and you better understand today that you are just an administrator. If you are an administrator, you every day you look how to administrate in a better way. If you are a owner, you are worried a lot. You have to keep it. You have to work hard. You have to do everything possible not to lose it. And you can spend as you want because you are not accountable to anyone. The wrong attitude towards money, yes, God is giving us for two reasons. To enjoy, but to share it with others. But if you are not grateful, if you seek love and trust more in your money than in God, if you are comparing yourself with others, and if you are unwilling to share The results are obvious. Look at the right side. Controversies, quarrels, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction, corrupt mind, and the trap of the harmful desires, and you pierce yourself with grief. I brought forth this verse, which says that we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. And I put here your life, or my life. And do you see that we have in English, but we have in Russian. For those who not remember in English, I put in Russian. So here we are born, or you are born here. One day you'll die. I know that you didn't know about that, but one day, surely, you'll die. And you are here. Look, from the first day of your life, you started to gain something. Even at the first day, your parents took care to have a baby shower. And you had already, when you came on this earth, you immediately received some dumpers, some t-shirts, and you started to gain more and more and more. In the beginning, some small toys, some small cars. After that, those cars started to become bigger, bigger, bigger. And after that, four cylinders, six, eight, and real power. And now you are here, and you are having a lot. I don't believe that we have at least one, doesn't matter which age, here in this congregation, which one person who doesn't have. Everyone has. If you don't believe it, go to the closet of your youngest son or daughter, open it, and you will see that he has already a lot. So every one of us possess something now. But God wants us to remain bounded to Him, dependent on Him, and to continue to seek Him, love Him, and trust and hope in Him, to not depend on what we receive. So everything that we have, here I put God is a triangle. Everything that we are receiving as a gift. But God doesn't want us to be dependent on that gift. He wants you to remain the same as you were 20 years ago when you just got married and you didn't have anything and you were happy with God without anything and you were depending. Doesn't matter that now you are a successful businessman. Doesn't matter how much you got. You have to remain in love with Him, to seek Him and to trust in Him. But look what is happening many times. Instead of loving God, you start to love His gifts. Instead of seeking God, you start to seek for some more of His gifts. And instead of hoping and trusting in Him, you begin to trust and to hope in your possession. You are not worried anymore about the future because you have a very good saving account or you have a good investment. If you have the trust in your investment, make sure that they are good enough to support you in the time of grief and trials, because God tells you that you will not pay attention how they will disappear. And you know, God will make sure, because He loves you, He will take that false support, because it's the most fake support which you can have. That's why we know that nothing we had when we came into this world, and again, a new surprise, you will not take anything with you. So everything that you got only for a period of time. And God is giving to us everything with the one reason. Again, for our enjoyment, And second, to be generous and willing to share. You know, for a God, for a heart of stone, in the Old Testament, when the people didn't have the Holy Spirit, and you know what does mean a person without Holy Spirit? It's a selfish a person which is he's concentrated only on himself. And God knows that such a person doesn't want to give, because the people, they are oriented only to receive. And for a heart of stone, God put a law to give at least 10%. So 90% for your own enjoyment, and 10% they had to give back. Maybe you know this story about the Greek Orthodox priest, how he was explaining how he's dividing this pie. He said, I'm putting everything on the table, closing my eyes, I just draw a line, everything on the, which is on the left side I'm taking for myself, on the right side I'm giving to God. A Catholic priest said, you are superstitious, this Orthodox priest, you are strange people. God gave us the mind. I'm putting everything on the table, but I account everything, and I divide 50% to myself, 50% I'm giving to God. And you know, Rabbi looked at them and he said, I'm looking at you as a robber. You just robber God. I'm taking everything and saying, Lord, everything belongs to you. And I throw off everything and I'm saying, Lord, take everything. But everything that will fall down belongs to me. And many times you'll see the same attitude in us. So we are understanding that everything belongs to God, but it's the same attitude sometimes. We don't give even 10%. And 10% was for a heart of stone. A heart which was unwilling to share. A heart which doesn't want to obey God. And that's why God forced them by a law. Give back 10%. And even if it's not 10%, if you read Leviticus, you'll find out that 10% was something which you give directly to the temple, to the church, I would say nowadays. But after that, you have to give gifts, to bring sacrifice. So you, if you add everything, you'll find at least 20%. What we should do in nowadays, and how we are going to divide this pie. And the Bible says that, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So it's a law here, it's a law of reaping. God knows that a heart, a renewed heart, who has, which has the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the love inside, this heart doesn't need to have a law. Because we are moved now not by a dead letter, we are moved by the Spirit. And maybe you read the book about Robinson Crusoe. And you know how much he dreamed to eat some bread, but he didn't have any grains. And one day, when he was shaking a sack, he found some grains. And he planted those grains, and the whole year he was protecting them because he wanted to get some grain to have some bread. And in the end of the year, that's his field. In the end of the year, he didn't take all the grains for himself. You know what he did? He just replanted, resow everything, because he knew if he will eat enough the first year, that will be everything, and he will not have more. And God is teaching us a lesson. He says that here is a law, a national law, the law of gravity is the same law. If you sow sparingly, you also reap sparingly. How much we'll give and how much we'll take for ourselves, how we'll divide, God is not going to tell us, but He will tell us that the money is the field of, it's like an exam. When you put your hand in your pocket, you take from there the measure of your faith. The money is the field when you show how much you trust in God. And that's the field where God allowed us to test Him. He said, test me, and you will see. You know, every time when I'm giving, God gives me immediately back. And I'm scared sometimes. Because He doesn't want Himself to live in doubt, in death. And that's why He's giving immediately you back. And He said, test me, try me, try me and you'll see. And why the matter of giving is important for a Christian life? Because you know that to God belongs everything. He's not interested in your possession, in your money, but He's interested in your heart. And by giving, you are just training your heart in trusting God. And God is pleased with integrity, and He tests your heart in this matter. And that's what David said when he asked for Jews to come to bring everything needed for building the temple. He got scared how much they brought. And that time he realized and he said, oh Lord, everything belongs to you. Why did you ask from us to give you something back? And he said, oh, I know. You are asking that only to test our hearts. And because you are pleased with integrity, he said, Lord, just keep this attitude, this desire, keep in us. How much you'll give, how much you'll live for yourself, again, you'll not find the law. Because it's not a need of the law for a renewed heart. But Paul says, anyone who receives instruction in the word, must share all good things with his instructor. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And many times you heard these verses, this verse interpreted differently, but this verse comes in the context of giving. And that's why anyone makes this decision, but we have again to remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. When you listen to the people will say, hey, now it's not the best period of my life when I can give. I'm passing now a hard financial situation. And that's a misunderstanding. That's a misunderstanding because the matter of giving should not depend of our financial situation now. Because we are passing sometimes trials. We are passing that test which we heard about. And that's why we have this amazing example. You know that Paul was supported by Macedonians, by Philippians, when he was doing his mission work. Even serving Corinthians, he was supported by Macedonians. And when they were giving when they were really poor. And look, out of most severe trials, extreme poverty, look how they gave. They gave richly, with generosity, and they gave much as they were able behind their ability. And they not even they were pleading Paul to take from them money, because Paul was understanding his situation. He didn't want to take money from them, but they were pleading Paul. But look what the order, how we should give. First, we have to give ourselves to the Lord, and just after that to give from our possession, and that's the only correct form of giving. Again, God is giving us, and He will give a lot. He will give a lot to everyone, but we always have to test our hearts, because we don't want to have trust. We don't want to fall into temptation. And God wants us to bless for our enjoyment, but always we have to remember that there are a lot of needs around us. And first, always first, we have to give ourselves to the Lord, and then to give to the church, and then to give to others. Today, I didn't have an intention. The only intention which I had is to teach what the Bible teaches about money. One time I taught in Portland, in a big Russian church, and after that the pastor came and said, "Brothers, sisters, believe me, I didn't know what he's going to teach." So many times I can see that pastors are afraid to teach this subject, but we have to learn what the Bible says about money in order to be blessed and to bless others. Amen. I would suggest to pray and to let God to test our hearts, to let God to look inside and to tell us where we should change, to change the attitude, because we would like to live a blessed life on this earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before You to ask Your light to go deep into our hearts and to reveal everything that is not according to Your will, is not according to Your word. We know that You are not interested in our possession, in the money, and we know that You are giving everything for our enjoyment, but also to train ourselves in sharing with others. And we know that everything belongs to You, and we possess nothing. That's why teach us to take this attitude of the servant, of the administrator, and every day to pray to You how we should rightly administrate Your good. We know that one day we'll give account for every word which came from our mouth, from every spoken phrase. But also, according to Matthew 25, You said that we will give account for every penny which You gave to us in order to spread Your word and to enlarge Your kingdom. Lord, we would like to receive and to administrate properly everything that You entrusted us with, and that's why this morning we are asking blessing upon our church, upon our hearts. Teach us, and we as Your students will let ourselves to be guided by the Spirit which is in us, because we are asking in Jesus' name, we can trust that You'll do that. Amen.